morning, Roxy Soxy.
Good afternoon, Tam Tam. Oh my God, it has already been a day here in Los Angeles, my friend.
What has been happening? Do you have your thong on? Do you have your pearl thong? If anyone has been listening to the previous episodes, Roxy wears a pearl thong.
I do. I usually wear it on Saturday night, but I think I'll start breaking it out on like Thursday, Tuesday, you know, all the other days.
Well, on those days, you can wear it the opposite way around.
Yes, exactly. For a little extra fun. Oh my God, damn it. I have to ask you this because I feel like you were a little bit on the brunt of my PMS this morning because do you know what happened? Here's what happened.
Tell me what happened.
Woke up at 3:45, couldn't get back to sleep. About an hour later, my daughter comes running in crying. And she's like, I'm so sick. I can't swallow. She had like a sore throat. Yes. And her birthday's on Monday. And I'm like, oh my God.
It literally always happens. As you're going onto the plane, my kid starts puking. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
I know. PMSing hardcore. And then you saw the emails earlier today with some of those people. They were pissing me off.
I know when Roxy comes out, I just give it back to her. When she calls me by my name, I'm like, bitch, I'm calling you by your name. I'm giving you a little bit of taste of what you gave me. No way.
This is why we're like sisters. We're like, Tam and Roxy. But I knew you would get it as soon as I was like, fucking PMSing today.
Well, the good news is, and you've come so far because we've been doing this for a long time. You've come so far. You actually admit to your wrongdoings now. I'd be like, bitch. Like, what's wrong with her? But now I'm like, oh, she admitted to it. Didn't apologize, but she admitted to it.
See, I'm making progress.
One question before we get our guest on. I'm in my late 30s. I'm holding on for dear life. Apparently perimenopause starts like now. It's for 10 years of being a complete and utter horrible person. And I already have issues with that anyway. Like, I'm such a controlling freak, especially with my poor husband. But I'm like, is it going to get worse? I know you're a couple years older. I don't know how many years older, but does it get worse?
So for the record, I am 76. Thank you to my plastic surgeons.
It's LA, baby.
This is what's so crazy. Every time I go to the doctor, I'm like, am I in perimenopause? They're like, are you still bleeding? I'm like, yeah, every month. They're like, then nope, you're not in perimenopause. And I'm like, but how do you know? Like, how do you know? And I can't tell from history because my mother had a hysterectomy. So we don't know when it happened for her. So I'm just like, how do we know?
You know, my mom said, I was like, when did you go through menopause? Yeah. She was like, I went through menopause at 50. I just had a lot of soy milk and it was fine. I was like, that is not enough information. This is like the sex talk that I never got. You know what I mean? Like, I never got the sex talk. I never get the menopause talk. So I'm just screwed.
We're just wandering in the woods like us. We're just like,
I got my soy milk in here.
You got me telling everyone to fuck off. I mean, what more do you need?
Really, it's a disaster. And I'm sure our next guest is really happy to be here. He is like, what have I signed on to? This is a mess. I'm so excited to speak to him. I've literally did a whole deep dive for like the last couple of days. And I'm a little addicted to TikTok anyway and social media. But like, once you start watching his videos, like, you just can't stop. It's like sucking a sore tooth, except it's not sore. It's a beautiful, nice crown. But yes, I am like now obsessed with him. I know he won't be my friend, but I already feel like he is my friend. So who do we have on Roxy Soxy?
Oh, well, I mean, I was so excited to look through all of his stuff, particularly on a day like today when I was so pissed when I woke up. I opened up his page and there I saw him doing a Britney Spears impression. And I'm like,
Oh my God.
This is like,
I love it.
Right? This is exactly what we needed. He is like a multi-hyphenate, like amazing entertainer, dancer, performer. He does the most hilarious celebrity parodies on TikTok. And by the way, on TikTok, he has like blown up. He has like over a million followers. He's hilarious. He's out loud and proud. And we love him. Welcome, Corey O'Brien.
Thank you so much for coming. Oh my gosh. So I feel like I found my home here with the pearl thongs. I have one too. So I'm really
Do you have one on? Is it backwards too?
Yes, a fabric. Yeah, I wear it. I wear it every day. Yeah.
Oh my God, we're gonna have to hit the boulevard. Tamin, you got to get one so we can hit the boulevard, the three of us. And like,
oh, yeah.
Where do you even get one these days? Where do you get one?
Goodwill.
Like,
you string it together yourself. You know.
Yes. Yeah. Party City.
It's a DIY project.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm. That's our merch. Our merch is going to be pearl thongs, right?
There we go. Pearl thongs and some vibes. Here we go. But, you know, as I was going through all your TikTok, and yes, we're going to do all the fun stuff, but I read a lot of articles about you, and we talk a lot about mental health on this podcast too. And you, let's go right back to the beginning when you were a very small child. I have a very small child. I have a 9-year-old, and I also have a 4-year-old. And you said that at 4 years old, you knew that you were gay and that you liked boys. Yeah. So, you know, there's so much, there's this huge narrative and there's so much noise right now, especially about like kids not really knowing like their sexual identity or like having any idea, and that we are, you know, putting that, we're giving them like options to choose when they don't really know who they are. So can you go backwards into like when you were very young in Pennsylvania, a small town in Pennsylvania, and explain when you knew that you were gay and how you knew?
Thank you. Yeah, so much for bringing that up, because I think a lot of people have this idea, this notion that they're so fearful that the parents are telling the kids what they are, when in reality, I knew exactly right away. Like, that's my truth. That's my story. I instantly knew. I was actually out and proud more, I think, when I was 4 than anything else, because that to me was my norm. Mm-hmm. I was telling people that I had a crush on a boy. I was chasing boys at school, like literally chasing them. I just knew. I would hear my sister, my older sister, talk about crushes that she had, and I would relate to her, and I would tell her the same thing with me. And I told my mom, I remember that I had a crush on a boy named Brandon, and she just sat there and said, okay, you know, she just listened to me. But it was never something that the outside world was telling me that I was. It's what I knew in my heart that I was. Until I think I had more and more people start kind of treating me differently, then looking at me wrong, then teachers kind of telling me to stop, or you know, my friend's parents telling me that it wasn't right, or that neighbors, you know, then that's when I kind of started realizing that I was quote unquote different. But I mean, from the moment I can remember, it was never anything that I was like, I'm attracted or I like girls. I knew in my heart that I was gay, and I just didn't have the word for it. And that's another thing too, because I think that a lot of people really like are so afraid of like, don't say gay. They're so afraid of all these things that we are teaching these children. But in reality, children really are just taught how to love and love. Mm-hmm. And they're taught really, it begins at home. So if they're taught how to hate, they're going to learn that at home. If they're going to taught how to accept themselves, they're going to learn that at home. So for me, I was never told by my parents what I was. They just accepted me for who I was.
That's amazing. So you grew up in a very supportive family and had that kind of backing. At what point did you start, if you did have bullying, at like what point did that start? So like from going to your parents' kind of safe cocoon to like the world and, you know, kind of dealing with their reactions.
Yeah, I've always been like an entertainer. So my safe space was my home. That's where I could go. I could always entertain. I was the middle child, so I was obsessed, attention crazed. I mean, I loved it. So I started getting bullied, I believe, early on. Like, I want to say around like 5 or 6. I remember, because I feel like I so desperately wanted the acceptance from my peers. I had it from my family, but when you're that age, you want your peers to accept you. You want to feel accepted by the friends, people your age. So I will say it started early on. It got to a point where I felt like I started dimming my light. I started dimming who I was, my personality, because I just so desperately wanted to be not even accepted anymore. I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want to be made fun of. I didn't want the attention on me. So, you know, it definitely, that became my norm then. Like mm-hmm. going to school and getting made fun of became my norm. Like just kind of like, if someone only kind of maybe called me a name on the bus, but didn't push me down, it was a great day. You know, like mm-hmm. I was so happy that it was the bare minimum, not even. I didn't in a sense want to exist among these people. I just kind of wanted to be like a shadow.
I mean, I was bullied so badly at school. I was a very overweight kid, and you know, people would throw rocks at my head, and I remember it so well. And it's funny because I'm in my 30s now, and it's like it never really goes away. Like I know we say it does, and I know we say, well, I've gotten therapy, and I've made peace with it all, but like there's still a part of you that feels like you're that 10-year-old, that 8-year-old, that 12-year-old, that 5-year-old that isn't good enough. Like I feel like for me, when my triggers happen and I have to sit with myself and ask why, it always goes back to being a kid. And it's like at some point, like I don't know how you guys feel, but at some point I'm like, fuck man, like when is it over, you know? Mm-hmm. Like meaning when is the trauma mm-hmm. over from when you're so young being bullied like that, you know what I mean? Like does it ever go away?
I don't think, you know what, honestly, I don't think it ever goes away. And Tam, I think I told you this, Corey, I went to my high school reunion recently, like a month and a half ago or so. And I, you know, I received a lot of the mean girl sort of stuff, you know, especially in like middle school and junior high, you know, they just didn't treat me very kindly. And I guess that is bullying, really. Why do we even call it mean girls? It's bullying, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was something so interesting about being seated with the same girls at the same like lunch table, very like in the cafeteria, you know, where we it was so weird, Tam. And I was like, wait, what? But then I kind of looked at it through a different lens. Like I kind of looked at them and I was like, they were kind of socially awkward and like trying to be funny, but it was like people were kind of just, you know, like whatever, like, and I almost felt sorry for them. You know what I mean? Because that had to have been their reality too, probably at that age, that they felt so, you know, bad about themselves or awkward, you know, something, not that it's an excuse at all, but that's maybe what caused some of this, you know, like you almost pity those people now. I'm like, but I don't think it ever goes away necessarily. The effect. I mean,
I don't think it goes away. I think with years of therapy that, you know, I've been through, and just also like, of course, after I got sober 10 years ago, I feel like I had such a different eye-opening experience to all of it. But I do think that the mindset that I have, I feel like that's something that I work on every day. So even if I have worked on my confidence and I've built that back up from now at 32, from when I was a 4-year-old boy, 5-year-old boy getting made fun of, I still catch myself at times like just second guessing myself or wondering, can I do this? Am I worthy? Is this something that I really can accomplish? And I have to just like kick myself out of that fucking feeling, because I know where that stems from, because that stems from when I was a little boy thinking, I don't deserve this. I'm not good enough. I deserve to be made fun of. I don't deserve what everyone else has. And I think that those feelings kind of, they live within you. If you grow, like the most important years of your life, you're being told these negative, horrible things about you. You're a child, like you grow with that. So that's, that lives inside you. So I feel like constantly every single day, like you're kind of like battling against it. But in a weird way, kind of like you said, like I do pity these people, because in a sense, like I actually, now I'm older and now that I've done everything and I'm accomplishing everything that I've put my mind to and everything I've ever wanted to, I've had people that made fun of me reach out to me. I've had guys that were making fun of me actually now reach out to me years later and they're in the closet. So I'm like, oh, okay. So like you know, I was a safe bet. Like I was the one that you kind of could shine all this negativity on. So you yourself weren't made fun of, or you, no one really knew about you. And I, you know, I pity these people, but at the same exact time, like I bless and release, because I'm not here to be anyone's therapist, but at the same exact time, like, mm-hmm. I do, you know, I appreciate when people are able to take accountability.
Mm. It sucks that we have to go through it, though. Like, yes, yeah. I totally agree. I think, like, I look back now, I'm like, oh, those people, like, you know, unhappiness is the fastest pipeline uh-huh. to hate. And mm-hmm. people are, like, unhappy, like, you know, and it's taking, my husband said to me the other day, he said, so you don't care if people are rude to you on social media? I'm like, I fucking don't care. I really feel bad for them now. Like, I actually go, oh my goodness, you are spending your time writing this horrific stuff, like kill yourself or whatever they say, like horrible stuff. And I'm like, you have never even met me. Like, I feel really bad for uh-huh. someone who is living in such a dark place. But it took me 30 something years to get there uh-huh. and to be like, I can now see someone else's pain like straight away. But I have a daughter and so does Roxy, who are, you know, also uh-huh. 9, 10 years old. And I'm thinking, like, what do I do? Because one of my daughter's, Phoenix's friends recently said, like, people were talking about you. She texted this to her yesterday. And I said to Phoenix, ask her, because I like monitor her phone. I'm like, ask her, what did they say? Because I want to know what's going on. She said, what did they say? And the girl said, I'm not going to tell you. And I thought, wow. And I thought, okay. And then Phoenix was really confused. And I had to sit down with her, which I don't think our parents really had the tools to do this mm-hmm. back in that generation. I had to sit down with her and go, she feels jealous of you. She feels jealous because you're in Australia. You're doing all these cool things. You're at a photo shoot because we went and she told her friend she was at a photo shoot. And this girl obviously doesn't know how to respond to that. So she doesn't feel good about herself. So she's now, you know, making it about you, trying to pull you down. But I don't think our parents really, I mean, I don't know if your parents did. I don't think our parents mm-hmm. really talked through that, other than maybe they were like, screw that person, or, you know, our parents got so angry, right, at the other mm-hmm. person, and we're like, because they wanted to like stick up for us mm-hmm. but I'm like, maybe if they could break it down that that person was really suffering in their own stuff and they were sort of deflecting on us, maybe it wouldn't have, maybe we would have understood it better earlier, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my dad used to just tell me, oh, you know, hit him back, punch him back.
Yeah, and I was like, exactly.
You know,
an eye little, for an eye.
I know. I was just like this little gay boy that just wanted to go to gymnastics and dance. I wasn't about to like UFC these people. I was like, I'm not going to punch them, Dad. I was so, but I think that for me, it was like, it was more so the fact that people, like these people, were making fun of a true fact about me, and that's what that I was gay. Mm. So I was like, I went from like being told, you know, like that it being nothing at home, to now being out in the world and everyone is like making fun of something that I really can't change. And then that's when I kind of started, like, I turned that into kind of hate for myself because I couldn't change it. And all I wanted was to change it. But at the same exact time, I do relate. I do completely agree. Like, parents, it was more, at times it felt like parents were like annoyed. They're like, okay, well, what do you want us to do? And it was like, I don't know what I want you to do. Like, I want these kids to stop. But I think that it was more so of like, it will get better. But when you're that young, that's your world. Mm-hmm. Like those little fucking losers that are making fun of you, like, they are everything. So it's like, oh, but now I'm 32. Yeah, I would tell like maybe like my nieces and nephew, like, who fucking cares? Mm-hmm. But they care. So I have to care. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I commend you guys too for saying something to your families and stuff like that. Cause I didn't, I just kept it like bottled in for years and years and years and like pushed down. And I'm sure that bubbled up in like anger and, you know, me lashing out and like doing things that probably would have not, I mean, would have been better had I explained the situation, you know, and kind of gotten those feelings out. So that's great that you guys both were able to like speak about it, you know.
But wasn't that kind of the family? Because you said your dad was Pakistani, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that the culture is not, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but is the culture to not speak about the issues that you're going through? Like, just kind of like be strong because you've had to be so strong in so many other ways?
Yeah, it's pretty much like, you know, kind of keep your feelings to yourself and be a very like calm, like quiet, especially as a woman, right? Like sort of calm and quiet and like, you know, demure daughter and, you know, obedient and respectful and all the things. And I think that's what contributed to my huge like fucking, you know, when I was a teenager, I just rebelled, you know, it's like sneaking out of the house, dating older boys, going to concerts, you know, like going to after parties.
We're soul sisters.
And it hasn't stopped. And it hasn't stopped, Roxy.
That was me. That was me.
Right? In our parole thongs. I mean,
yes,
right?
Yes. That was me. Yeah.
But I think too, because I was the oldest also, it was kind of like they were trying to, you know, I mean, I was kind of like your guinea pig, right? They're like, okay, let's, you know, because back then it was like throw spaghetti on the wall for parenting and like see what works kind of a thing, you know? Now it's like, so like we have so many tools now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Almost too many. Yeah. See, yes. I didn't do the drugs and alcohol thing because I was petrified. I came from a medical family. So it was like, you're going to die. And I was like, oh my God. I have issues with like feeling like I'm going to die from taking Advil now. But because I was, you know, there was no body positivity when I was younger. So it was like, I was overweight and that was bad. And it was like all around the time when it was like the '90s and it was all about like Christina Aguilera and Britney and everyone was thin. So then I had anorexia and bulimia and, you know, after being overweight, then I lost all the weight and then I got so much attention and I was like, wait, skinny equals attention. Mm. And I never had boys run after me. So my crazy time was with the boys. I had like so many boyfriends. I remember, and Sean's like, don't ever repeat the story. But like when I met my husband at 22, I was dating someone else and the guy keyed into the room and my husband was hiding in the closet with my dog, holding onto my dog. And I was like, how did I get in this situation? But I was just so craving attention, which I still feel like it takes time. And you probably feel this way too, as an artist, or like, you know, when you get attention, it's hard to not crave it, you know, still. So I still have a little bit of that. Like I seek attention, but I'm trying to not. But yeah, that was my Achilles heel. It was definitely dating and attention. It was attention, getting attention, because I never got attention. I was invisible.
That's the thing. I think a lot of people I've enjoyed meeting in this industry because it, in a sense, it's like kind of trauma bonding. Cause I'm like, okay, so what fucked up life have you had? Cause I feel like we've all end up here somehow, but it's because of just like, you know, maybe there's so many things inside of us, creativity, just like different parts of our story that create such incredible stories or art or where, but we, like I said, we dimmed that light. Because maybe people around us, society, our peers were just telling us that we weren't worth it. So I think the attention, if you're so used to getting negative attention or just no attention at all, then when you start getting it, it's like, of course, you're grasping at straws to have it, because you finally feel, in a sense, worthy of something. So that was, for me, honestly, in a sense, like, because attention comes in all different forms, but when I went down the path of drugs and alcohol, that to me was what gave me, I felt like I've said before, like tasting alcohol for the first time to me was like tasting freedom, because it really, it made me feel alive. Like it, I felt a feeling about myself that I've never felt before. And that was this like false sense of confidence. Like I was able to look people in the eye. I was able to speak with them. I was able to just like own who I was. And, but little did I know, like what all this confidence and all this amazing stuff that I thought that alcohol was giving me, in the end, it took it all from me. So I had to kind of just go back to the fucking drawing board. But it ended up being, I don't know, the best thing that happened to me. Yeah.
What was rock bottom for you? What made you want to get sober?
You know, nothing. I never wanted to get sober.
It's great. Alcohol's great.
I never wanted to get sober. I started using, I want to say around like 12 or 13. Because I wasn't just the gay kid anymore. I was the cool gay kid. And I was going to take it. I was like, I'll take it. Like I will. And then, you know, like I just wanted to fit in. So I was just watching these people. And I remember, like, I started dancing so young. And I remember myself skipping dance classes and kind of just being like, oh, fuck, what am I doing? But I was in such, I was so desperate for, like you said, attention. I was so desperate for people to just acknowledge me. And so you know, I danced professionally, started dancing professionally 17, 18, and I went out and I did a bunch of different tours all over the world. And I was fired from every single one for drinking, literally every single, 4 different shows in a matter of from 18 to 21. So finally, it got to a point. I was doing a show in Israel, and I was supposed to be there for a year. They fired me after 3 weeks. And they reached out to my family and just said, you know, the bottle is going to kill him. Like, we've known him for 3 weeks, but we could tell. And so my parents told me I was going to rehab. And I was like, okay, I'll go for 28 days. That's all. 28 days. Like the movie, I think it's Sandra Bullock. I was like, 28 days. That's all I will do. And I don't know how I thought I was going to be the one that was deciding, but I ended up going to rehab for a year, a full year. I had a lot of things I had to work on. I guess I was pretty fucked up. But yeah, that was, you know, that was my rock bottom. I mean, losing everything, really losing everything.
Wow. I mean, it's just, you know, I haven't drank in 2 years, and I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't have a problem with it, but I just don't feel invincible when I drink, and all my anxiety goes away. And it's like, this is what normal people feel like. And yes. Then the next day I'm like so anxious and like shaking and don't feel good. And my brain's going a million miles an hour. I feel depressed. I've picked 3 fights with my husband. I've broken up with a friend. Like, it's just,
oh yeah,
horrible.
That's what would happen with me. And then, so I was like, oh my God, like I'm invincible. Then the next day, horrible, depressed. So I was like, you know what? How to feel better is keep drinking. And then it was like years later, I would like start drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. And like I said, years later, I was like, I'm an alcoholic, and it won't stop. So yeah, that's what happened over here. But I totally, that's amazing that you also just.
Yeah. And it's also, I don't drink very much. So I would probably have four or five a week or something, but to some people it's like, well, that's nothing. But to me, it's like, I'll drink a glass on Wednesday, I just don't feel good on Thursday, then I'd have 2 on Friday, I feel really crap on Saturday, then Sunday I'm sort of getting my everything back together, and then so I have like 2 good days a week. And I think there's this alcohol is very interesting when you stop drinking, how uncomfortable people get when you're not drinking. I don't know if you feel this way, but it's like, I mean, certain people are fine, but like, it's a kind of this like, well, why aren't you drinking? Just one. Like, so sometimes I even fake it. Sometimes I put a sparkling water with some lemon juice in it, so it looks like I'm drinking, so no one even has to ask me the question. But it's so interesting, the conversation and like the societal belief of like, well, drinking is just, it's fun and it's good for you, and like one glass of wine is good for the heart. And I mean, I'm just like, who came up with that slogan? The alcohol companies, you know? And the more you learn, like the Cancer Council just put on their website, it just says like, you know, it's a carcinogen. And yeah, they just came out with that. And I'm just like, it's interesting that it's the only drug that we do that is so socially acceptable. And when you don't do it, it's almost like that's not socially acceptable. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're the one person, like you're the enigma, right? You're like the weirdo who's not drinking. Like, how do you guys feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's like you said, it's so weird because it's kind of like saying in a sense like one cigarette a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, just
like,
a bit of coke. Why not?
Yeah, absolutely. We all do meth here. It's just because I had someone in my life still where finally she, you know, after 10 years, she's like, oh, you're still not doing it? You're still not drinking? Like, no. And she's like,
no.
She's like, but is one glass of wine going to kill you? I'm like, actually, bitch, yeah, it might. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I don't, you know, to me, it's just so weird that it's like, if you don't drink, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, but this is like the only like really legal drug. I'm like, you guys, you know, it's a drug. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not judging you, but I've learned that people, you know, when I tell them I'm sober, they're so enamored and invested, and then like the texts stop and the invites stop,
yeah,
and then I'm like, oh, I'm like, oh, like, bitch, I'm more fun. But like,
I'm okay. way more fun not drinking. Yeah, I'm like out till the last minute.
Exactly. I won't get
if I'm
hammered.
Out.
That part. I won't get hammered.
If I'm out.
I won't try to hook up with your boyfriend. You know, I'm sober. We're great. So yeah, yeah. I'm like, invite me. But no, yeah, that's my experience. What about you with it?
I mean, for me, well, I will preface this by saying I do enjoy some tequila, you know,
as like, you should. I'll get,
right? Just as a little tequila with some lime juice. But I do notice, like, the older I get, you know, the more physical effect it has on me. Like, whereas before, you know, I could have like 2 or 3 cocktails in a night and I'd wake up and still be, you know, fresh and everything. But now I can have like 2 drinks and wake up with a headache or like, you know, just not feeling tired, you know? So for me, like, I kind of watch it, especially during the week, because mama cannot afford to wake up, you know, exhausted and tired and with a headache. So I do limit myself now more than I did before, like during the week. But for me, you know, if I enjoy it, I just kind of enjoy it and kick back and like, have a glass with my husband or like with friends. I don't really drink by myself. Like, I don't do that. It's more kind of social for me. Not that that's maybe necessarily any better. But I do.
But what do you feel like when other people aren't drinking around you? Do you feel like it feels awkward?
I feel like if you're a fun person, you're a fun person no matter what, right? Exactly. Like, so for me, it doesn't bother me. Like, as long for me, I like people's energies. So like, the more like you know, like you have a great energy, like that I love, you know. And it doesn't matter if there's like a cocktail or, you know, whatever. But, you know, I will say if somebody's like a Debbie Downer, I definitely don't like that. No matter if they're drinking or not, you know, like
that is true.
You know, I'm like, no Debbie Downers, please. Mama likes to keep her energy high, you know? So that it's more important for me. Like, energy is more important for me.
But it is fascinating. And I'm sure, Corey, you notice this too. It is fascinating when you see your friends through sober eyes, right? Because like when you're drinking with them, you're all sort of drinking. But I've seen a couple of my friends, and no, it's not you, Roxy. but they get so like, belligerent. They get so aggressive towards me that I probably wouldn't have taken as aggression. And it's funny. They're like, not trying to tear me down, but like making fun of the things that I'm doing. And I'm like, wow, this is what happens when the filter goes. Maybe they're not friends anymore, but it's interesting when the filter goes and people think that they can say and do whatever they feel like they can in the moment because they're drinking, you really do get to see a sense of who that person is. I don't know. Do you feel like alcohol brings out the real person or like who you really are? Or do you think alcohol taints that person and makes you into something that you're not?
You know, I feel like for me, it made me into a completely different person. Like, people used to tell me the things that I did, and I, one, not only didn't remember, but I couldn't fathom that I would do or say those things. So I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but like for me, just, I just, being someone that's sober, being someone that struggled with addiction, I just don't allow that shit into my life. So if someone starts acting like that, like, yeah, to me, I'm like, oh, bitch, okay, we're not friends. Like, we're not, you know, if you're going to start giving me that energy, because if someone's sober and they're giving me that energy, they're not my friend. So even if you're drinking, sorry, I'm not using that as an excuse. I think that alcohol at times gives people, false sense of confidence to say things that, yeah, maybe they've been thinking. So if you've been thinking it, then I'm glad you said it, but then no need to call me. We're not friends. You know what I mean?
I will not take it as constructive criticism. Yeah, I will walk away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I'm working on my own shit over here. So I don't need you to drink a bottle of wine to tell me about myself. Like, I'm good. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, totally. So. That's the worst. People get hammered and it's like the diagnosis session. And you're like,
yeah.
They just start like going off on you and you're like, wait, I didn't ask you that.
I did not ask. I think you're a drunk. How about that? Like, I didn't ask for this. So thank you. But like, I'm also like when people like try to give you advice about a relationship and they're not in one, it's kind of just like, I don't need any advice here. Thank you for that.
So now that you're like massive on TikTok and you're sober and you've struggled with mental health in the past, do you not, because for me, social media, I don't think it's good for my mental health. Like, I live in it and I make money from it and it's wonderful and it's such a great tool and I love the people that I've met and I love creating funny videos, but I sometimes get into this spiral where if there's not enough views or if there's not enough brand deals or I'm just addicted to it because I feel like I'm not doing as much or as well as other people are, it goes into like a mental health spiral. And I know that maybe I should try to limit it. I don't know how, or maybe I should try to work on my own mental health with it, but it just seeps in. So how do you feel like TikTok and Instagram and that whole world does for all the past mental health issues?
You know, I, maybe as like, you know, dramatic as it sounds, there were many, many years in my life that like I truly couldn't even get out of bed or like look in the mirror. Like I really hated myself so much. So to think of putting myself out there for millions of people to judge or watch, I was like, I mean, that would have made me drink even back then. Because it's so, you know, it's so, to me, it seems so stressful, but I've gotten to a place where like kind of like you said, like I really don't care anymore. And I feel like that came with age. Like it did, of course, and years and years and fucking years of therapy, but it just was like at this place where I'm like, oh, you know, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm not gonna be thinking about user 4365252 that was like, I fucking hate you. Like I'm like, you know, now when I get those comments, I just come back like, I fucking hate you too. Like, I don't know, what do you want from me? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, you know, like, or people are like, oh my God, I don't like you. I'm like, I didn't like me either. Like, I've just found such a joy in making people laugh. But most importantly, like, I just found joy in doing this for myself. Like, I found joy in creating. I found, turning everything now into comedy, doing my first, you know, stand-up comedy show in LA. Like it was such a huge success. And for me, the shit that I used to honestly cry about and spiral, I was up on stage making jokes about. So that to me is a win. And for me, I'm like, you know, there's so many people behind these screens on these fucking phones that leave like the worst comments in the world. And I'm just like, like if anyone, I'm not here, I'm not in the business to call people names, but if anyone's a loser, it's not me dressing up. It's not me dressing up in a dress or aluminum foil. Okay, it's you behind the screen mad at me for wearing a wig. You know, like it's so that to me, like I just kind of take everything with a grain of salt, but I make sure that I'm good with me. Does that make sense? Like I make sure that I'm secure in that because no one has ever treated me worse than I treated myself. So
that's true. And it's fleeting. Like these people who come on and like say shit, they like drop a comment and they say, and you know that they're just unhappy with themselves and that it really doesn't have anything to do with you. It's like them just being so miserable. But I will say that depending on the side of TikTok that you end up on, that can really fuck your shit up.
Oh yeah. 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 Right? I'm not, you know, I've ended up on the wrong side of TikTok and I'm not going to, I don't know your audience, so I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, you're our audience, hopefully.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, like, honestly, you know, if you don't like two men kissing, then you probably shouldn't be here because there's going to be a lot of, you know, like, so just don't interact with my video because you're just going to get a bunch of homos on your For You page.
Hot ass too, I have to say, Mr. Booty. I was like, looking fine.
Thank you.
I just don't understand because I have two small kids and, you know, there was a drag queen walking by in Australia recently and my daughter was like, is that a drag queen or is that a girl? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, okay. And that was it. Like, I you know, when I grew up, there was drag queens, there was all different things and my parents never wasn't a thing. I don't understand, especially in America where we've gotten to is if it doesn't affect you, what is your issue? Like, mm-hmm. what is the issue? If having a third bathroom or whatever you want to figure out doesn't affect you going and shitting in the toilet, what does it matter? Because it affects a lot of people who have, and I always say too, unless you're raising a kid who is confused about their identity or sexual, what they like sexually, and they want to kill themselves, like, because that's really sometimes mm-hmm. what happens, is horrific mental health issues. You're going to change your tune, right? Hopefully you're going to want your kid to feel loved, to feel supported. You're going to advocate for what your child's needs are. And I think mm-hmm. that's the problem, is because it's not happening to you, then you don't really have any time or energy or understanding of how to be empathetic about the whole situation. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I thank you. It's weird. Some of like the most homophobic people are the ones mm-hmm. that are so obsessed with who I, you know, for lack of better words, who I'm fucking behind closed doors. I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know why you're so invested in my sex life. Because listen, mm-hmm. like, Joe, I'm not worried about what you're doing with your wife. So I don't mm-hmm. know why you're worried what's going
Maybe
on.
Maybe they want in on it.
Well, that's what I think there's no like phobia behind it. It's mm-hmm. actually just hate. Like mm-hmm. you're not right. Homophobia is truly just hate. Like you hate anyone that mm-hmm. is different from you. But the truth of the matter is everyone in this world is fucking different. Like when people are like, oh my God, with a marriage, like, remember the good old days? I was like, well, like what, of racism? Of what? Of homophobia? Like mm-hmm. that's really what you're talking about when you're speaking like that. So for me, I found that, and I appreciate it. It's like, yeah, we're just not teaching our children how to hate. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. you're teaching children also how to mind your own business. You know, is that a drag queen? Yes, it is. Okay, cool. Keep it moving. Like it's no one is here unless this drag queen is chasing you with a knife. There's nothing to be afraid of.
And isn't that truly the meaning of being pro-life? Like pro everyone's life, right? Like everybody under the sun, you know? There it is.
There's it's a
like,
lot.
Mm-hmm. If you are pro-life, you are pro everybody's life. You don't get to pick and choose,
Thank you.
And it's even religion. You. Like, you know, mm-hmm. when I went to Jerusalem, and there's like so many sites, like there's the Muslim site, the Dome on the Rock and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which is for Christians, and the Wailing Wall, which is for Jewish. And they're all like steps away from each other. When I went there, I was like, oh, so like, it's kind of just all the same thing. There's just like some Chinese whispers that went a little wrong, but it's all the same. It just feels like, I feel like manifestation, Buddhism, whatever it is all something greater than yourself. And the meaning of that is love. And so when people say, well, in the Bible, two men can't be together. It's like, but the meaning of like, so do you think your God would hate someone? The meaning of God is not hate, it's love. Mm-hmm. So it's like trying to fight that fight, which I do. I'm a big advocate on mm-hmm. our end, but it's like to try to change someone's, they're just stuck in their own dogma, right? It's just, they're stuck in their own training of being a kid. And it's generation after generation after generation of this type of hate. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to break, especially in the US. Like in Australia, where everyone's flying their freak flag. Flying their freak flag here. Oh, like yeah. No one cares. Like people are just like, oh, we have 6 weeks paid vacation. Like we're good. We got free healthcare. We're good. What do you mean? You have a baby and you get a whole year of paid, like a year to be pregnant. You're like, we're good. If you're homeless, you get paid. You're good.
And sprinkle in some of those Australian rugby players and there you go.
Good. We don't care about your sex life because we are settled here.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just like, for me, it's crazy because I just feel like a lot of the times people are so worried about things, like you said, that do not affect them. At all. But of course, then when it does affect them, that's when their tune changes. So they're out here trying to change and trying to like rain on everyone else's parade, but then they want to join forces when it's affecting them personally. And that to me, I don't really understand where it all comes from, because I was just never taught to hate strangers. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad for that. I'm grateful. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this about your TikTok, because It's very funny, y'all. And you parody some of the biggest people on TikTok, the Britney Spears, Charlie Sheen's, like all these amazing performers and people. And talking about strangers, are they strangers? Like, have you ever been able to meet any of them, and have they seen your work? And
That honestly, it's been such a game changer for me because who has reached out? Like Dua Lipa, the Spice Girls reached out. Wow. They shared my. I know the Spice Girls. What? I mean,
tell us the story. What happened?
We need them on the podcast. So please send the contact.
As a gay man, my heart just exploded. I was like, I recreated a video of theirs, I want to say about a year ago, and TikTok, you know, like we were talking about earlier with the views up and down, the video, I spent days on it, and you know, let's say it got like 10,000 views, and I
can't
just
stand that.
And in my mind, I was like, fuck it. I just deleted it. I'm over it.
I know.
I reposted it 3 months later, and it went viral. And the Spice Girls shared it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They shared it.
They put it on their TikTok, on their Instagram, on their Facebook. And they messaged me the Spice Girls account. I in my mind, I truly believe it was all five of them at Starbucks messaging me together. not the social media content creator. But they were like, we loved it. And I was like, I love you all. Who else? Justin Timberlake shared a video. Yes. I know. I'm pro Britney, but I love Justin. Who else? There's a bunch of people. Mandy Moore. I love Mandy Moore. JoJo. Do you have the original JoJo? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. And she became a friend for me recreating. We just went and saw her in Moulin Rouge on Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
That was amazing. Sam Smith is in one of my videos.
How did that happen?
I recreated Unholy, their song with Kim Petras, and I just pretty much stalked Sam. A stamp, please. Like, my boyfriend, they were following each other on social media. So my boyfriend reached out and was like, I was like, babe, if you don't do anything for me, all I need from you is to get a video from Sam Smith. And he got one from Sam, and they were amazing. So yeah.
I have to ask you, how do you do so when cool. you, because I'm like, I cannot figure this out. So now I'm getting some insider information. How do you do three of you in the same video? Without like what, how do you edit that together? I'm just so confused.
Okay. To be honest, I know people ask, cause they're like, is there more than you? I am a triplet. So I do have two other siblings that come and they're in the videos.
What?
Yeah. Oh. No, I'm fucking with you.
Oh my gosh.
I use app.
I was like, we should have led with that.
He's like, I'm like, just a triple, it's fine.
slide in there. I'm like, they don't get paid. It's this app called CapCut. I'm giving it away.
I know, I've heard that, but I don't know how to do it.
So honestly, there's just like a remove background option, and you just remove the background, but you have to make sure that there is like a video just in, like I have a video of just my living room wall. So I could film TikToks anywhere and just have my, because that's where my base is. It's always my living room walls where I do my recreations when it's funny. So, and then I just film myself and you can remove the background. And then you could keep putting yourself. It's the overlay. I'll hit you up.
Okay, I'm gonna have to DM you about that one, because I was like, I want to play Jenna and myself, but I'm like, how do I put us together? But it's okay. I'll do one of your videos. Yeah. I want to like talk to myself as Jenna, but as my character, but I'm not exactly sure.
Oh yeah, you have to be in my video for sure. I will say my boyfriend was fangirling. My boyfriend, he's a 6'6" football player, in the NFL, but he told me all things Pretty Little Liars. He knows
good.
I know, he introduced me to Pretty Little Liars and Gossip Girl. You would never imagine, but
Professional football? Professional player?
Yeah.
Is he still playing now?
No, so he actually, he's not retired, but he just, he just wrote his memoir. It was released about a month ago. Wow. And yeah, it's called The Yards Between Us. And he, so he's now actually working, him and Gabrielle Union are turning his life story into a comedy series.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
What's his name? Yeah. What's his name?
RK Russell.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's amazing. I'm telling everyone because that's more of a push for him to make a character for me in the show. So
yeah,
yeah. So that's really.
So well, if he needs an actress, I'm available. Exactly. So I'm with all the writer's strikes and the acting strikes.
That part, I'm not excited for him. I'm coercing him into giving me a role. That's really what it is.
That's my husband. I've been with him for so long, 16 years. He's a producer and director. I'm like, giddy up, buddy. It's time.
See, guys, you just have to sleep with them and get the roles.
I know. I have to continue sleeping with them.
Yeah.
I've like, it's been 10 to 16 years. It's my turn.
I put in the work, literally.
Yeah, so in the work.
They don't call a blowjob a job for nothing. Okay.
Amen.
I don't find it a job. I don't find it a job.
That's when I know I'm very gay. Because I find it a enjoyable hobby.
So, same.
I can't believe this is
my same. I'm just like it. This is not a job. This is a lovely appetizer. I'm very happy.
No, I'm also so happy because side note, but I am doing a short film, so I do need an actress for that. So I will talk Juliana. You guys work with Juliana, right? Is that who you work with? Yes. She's a great friend of mine. Yeah. I work with her too. She's the one that did my whole comedy show.
That's amazing. Well, Roxy can play a red carpet host and I can play anything you want me to play.
Are you a red carpet host? Where the fuck were you at my show? I had the red carpet. I had Getty Images.
Why was I not there? Juliana. Okay.
We're firing her now.
It's a group fire.
No, perfect. Okay, well, now I know. This is amazing.
See, we're connecting.
I would love to do stand-up comedy, but I'm really scared. People don't know this, but like I do a lot of comedy and my husband and I wrote a show. We co-directed it, co-wrote it for Sony in 10 episodes. And it's, you know, we ended up putting it together as a movie because short form content when we shot it was like the thing, but it's not anymore. So we put it together. And, you know, that's my thing, but I'm just too scared to get up on stage and do that because, again, fear of like failure, fear of not being funny. Like, I feel like that is, I would rather someone say like, you're ugly, you're gross, than like, you're not funny. That to me is so much like, that hurts my soul. Like, I don't care about any of that stuff.
Yes.
You're like, a bad mom. Like, you said, like, whatever. Like, that's fine.
Say it all. Tell me. Honestly, you don't even.
But don't say I'm not funny.
Yeah.
Don't say
I'm not talented. That will break my fucking. They could run me over with a car. But if you tell me, nah, it wasn't that good. I will.
She's not a good actress. I'll be like, what?
Yeah, I will just swim out into the middle of the fucking ocean and never come back.
Totally. All I'm good at now is blowjobs. That's it.
I have a lot of experience.
Don't we all, baby?
I always say if you like sex or like blowjobs, you always have someone who's like, it's too much. It's too much caramel sauce. Okay, we're good. We don't always need caramel sauce. You know, like sometimes people just want vanilla.
Sometimes you just want it dry. You don't even want the sauce.
Absolutely.
Well, we are getting together. Before we leave, we would please tell us where we can come. Any more shows?
Where can we see you?
We can come to. I'll be there in August.
Oh, okay. How long are you here in August?
Depends on how long I'm allowed to stay away from the kids, but like probably like a week or two.
Oh yeah, the kid. Well, I mean,
those little suckers.
I forgot about those little ones. You know. I'm planning to do another show September 1st, but I want to do my short film in August. So now I have two ladies interested in it. So we're going to figure it the fuck out. And since there's a writer's strike and everyone, no one can get paid. So you guys are doing everything for, no, I'm just kidding. <That's>
just for sexual favors.
Yes, you guys have to pay me actually to be in it. Yeah. But yeah,
we look, no one does anything for, no one does any short film for the money. Let's be right.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's just for the credits, you know, it's great exposure. Yeah,
exactly.
But it's going to be amazing. And thank you guys so much for having me do this, because you guys were a joy.
Awesome. You were,
well, please stay in touch. And where can everyone find you that's not on your stand-up or your short film?
Yes, Corey_O'Brien on everything, TikTok, Instagram, Threads now. Are you guys on Threads?
Yes, I just joined today.
Okay, I
just saw that.
Yes.
Join it.
I know. My managers were like, everyone must join Threads. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yes, you have to do it today.
Yeah, you need to join today. I'm just like, there was another thing too. Someone there was like, I was like, everyone follow me. Someone was like, who are you? I was like, I'm Corey fucking O'Brien. Who are you? Like, you just, I just.
But I have a question with Threads. So is it is it an app like TikTok?
So now, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's also like
Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's like its own thing. And the engagement is psychotic. Mm-hmm. Like, because
but can we put all our videos from the good ones that went viral? But do you have to like upload them, or does it like?
No, you just upload it really quick. You just like put it. It's like,
because I have all my viral videos like just hanging out on my phone.
No, yeah, you can just
save it.
You can just put it on the app. Yeah.
I have a folder. I literally have a folder of like videos I like with like a check mark. So I'm like, oh yeah, these are great. But yeah, the engagement rate is insane, because people that follow you on Instagram can automatically follow you on there. So you might sign up and instantly have like thousands of followers to not even know it.
Thousands? Yeah. Hundreds of thousands?
Millions and millions.
You're like, sorry. Millions, 1.3 million.
You're like, thousands? How fucking dare you?
Who has thousands?
Literally.
I could fit that in my yard.
Yes. I just don't have millions of followers, not millions of dollars.
Bazillions. Yes. Bazillions.
Yes.
Okay, so Threads is it. Another one.
Welcome to your new TikTok. I mean, your new social media app.
Yeah. Ugh. No, I'm obsessed. I need to stop.
Hold on. When they said Threads, I was like, for your face? I was like, wait, what? Because those Threads, I don't know if anyone knows, you can put like these threads. It's like cotton, and they, have you seen it? And they like put it into your face and they lift it up.
Are you saying anyone as a here or the audience? Because I know everything all about. Yes.
I don't know if our audience, Threads? I mean, I know our audience knows a lot, but I don't know if they know about Threads in your face.
Well, listen, audience, if you don't need it, get it. Why not?
You don't need Botox, get it. I haven't had any yet, but I want to.
Yeah.
Have you done it?
Done nothing yet.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you.
Like, wow, look at you. You're not sag. No, I need to get Botox, and I need to get, I'm going to get Morpheus 8. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like injecting yourself with a stapler.
Yeah, I've gotten Botox, filler, all of it.
Oh, where do you have filler? Yeah. It looks so natural.
So I got bangs. Uh-huh. I've gotten filler in my jawline. I've gotten filler underneath my eyes.
Oh.
I talk about it all. I got my teeth done, veneers. Oh God, we're getting really, I'm going to be like some of your guests, like, actually take it off. I'm all natural. Don't air it. No. So I'm all for it. If it makes you feel good.
You know what? If it makes you feel good, yeah. I'm all for like self-love and do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever, like free world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't give a fuck if you have implants. That's fucking great. Mm-hmm. You know, why would I judge you?
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares, right?
Note to self, get implants.
With me. After. I'll go with you.
Let's go get implants together. You're like, what do you guys do as friends? You're like, well, we'll get implants together.
Yeah, you know.
Get surgery, and then we go to brunch.
That'll be so great. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening to this show. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, and comment. We are Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook, and Women on Top Official on TikTok.
And I am Tamin Sarsak.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are interviewing
Corey O'Brien.
Yes. And we are, you have to sing this with us because a song comes in right now. So you have to sing to say women on top. And we are
women
on top.